Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Last week we shared the first half of a message by Pastor Going on the Day of the Lord, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This passage serves as a warning and reminder that we will all stand before God one day and answer for our deeds. It can be a fearful thing to think of standing before God, who knows every thought and everything you've done. But there's also a message of hope in this passage, and as we break into the sermon, Pastor Going is sharing that hope of the gospel that's available for everyone. I trust that you'll be challenged and helped by today's message. Here is Pastor Going.
But I want you to know this morning, you don't have to be among the people of the night who walk in darkness and are sleeping in a spiritually drunken stupor. You don't have to face God's wrath. Somebody ought to say amen right there. The fact is, there is a coming judgment. God is holy. God is just. He will not tolerate sin or disobedience or rebellion. The day of the Lord will come. He said it will come, and it will. But God is also merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I heard somebody say last year, and it stood out to me, God is not frantic to judge sinners. He's frantic to rescue them. Did you capture that? God is not frantic to judge sinners. He is frantic to rescue them. And if you doubt that, read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. What you'll find is that the story of the Bible is the story of a God who is deliberately seeking to be reconciled to fallen man. If you go down to verse number 9 of chapter 5, you'll read, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Jesus is coming again. There's a judgment day that's coming, but through Jesus and through the cross, there's a way to be ready for His coming. I want to declare the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ this morning and tell you, Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again. You can be lifted from the death of sin to new life in Jesus Christ. You can have hope of His return, and you can live in fellowship with Him. Eternal life, did you know eternal life begins right here on this earth? This is eternal life, that we may know Him. Eternal life is a relationship with Jesus. John 17:3 tells us it starts here and it continues through the glad eternities. These Thessalonians that Paul is writing to had put their faith in Jesus. They'd been born again. They'd been transformed. Chapter 1 told us that they had turned to God from idols, turned from idols rather, to serve the living and true God. And so Paul is writing to them to admonish them. Be awake, watch, be sober in light of the coming day of the Lord. And as I understand this passage that we're looking at, the heart of the message that Paul is conveying to these Thessalonian believers is you've been transformed, you've been saved, you're no longer in the kingdom of darkness, you're in the kingdom of light. Don't let the cares and pleasures of life control you until you lose your cutting-edge awareness of eternity and of the fact that Jesus is coming again. Don't get so caught up in the busy routines of life that you fall asleep to eternal realities. Don't allow the pleasures of this life to intoxicate you until you don't really think about eternity anymore. I heard about a couple wild ducks who were flying north for the summer. And by the time they got up north, they were tired, and so they swooped down on a little farm. They wanted to cool off and take a swim in a nice little pond they saw there, and the pond was so nice they decided to spend the night. And the next morning, the farmer's wife came out to feed her chickens, and she saw those two ducks out on the pond, and so she spread out a little extra feed, said, "I'll help those ducks out and feed them." And the ducks sure enjoyed that feed, and it beat having to find food on their own. And it just kind of became a thing. Day after day, the farmer's wife put out just the kind of feed those ducks liked, and they would eat it up, and then they'd go for a leisurely swim in the pond. It was great. And they decided to stay on that farm all summer long. But the months passed, and the temperature started getting a little cooler, and it was time now for the ducks to start flying south for the winter. But they were so enjoying the feed the farmer's wife gave them, and they so enjoyed their little pond that they barely even noticed the temperatures were starting to drop. And then one day, some other ducks they'd flown with in the past, were flying overhead in the sky. These ducks are beginning their annual migration down south, and the ducks in the sky began to quack and honk at the ducks down below in the pond. They want them to join them, and the ducks below look up and they realize it's time to head south. And so they begin to quack back up at the sky, and they flap their wings and they take a running leap, but they can't get themselves into the air. They'd eaten too much of the farmer's chicken feed. They'd floated too leisurely around the pond, and so now they're too fat and too heavy to fly. And when they should have been soaring through the sky with their fellow ducks, they're stuck in the farmyard below, and all they can do is watch the other ducks fly off into the distance without them. Could I say to us this morning, we thank God for the good things that He gives us. But if you allow the stuff of this world, we'll let the Holy Spirit fill in the blanks in your life. If you let the stuff of this world become what consumes you, if you allow the drive to satisfy your feelings to take over, if you allow the obsession to pursue your own desires at the cost of more important things, if you allow those things to become the driving principle of your life, all of that stuff together has a very subtle way of rocking you to sleep and intoxicating you until you lose spiritual awareness and discipline and alertness to things that really matter. You're focused on things that matter to you in this very moment, but sometimes by getting so focused on those things, we lose sight of those things that will matter 1,000 years from now. Don't miss out on soaring as a Christian because you get so consumed and full of the world's stuff. Paraphrasing just a little here, but there was a preacher of old, Alexander McLaren. He made a statement many years ago, and it's still relevant in 2025. He said, "Christian, you don't belong to the world in which you live." Could I repeat what he said? Christian, you don't belong to the world in which you live. You're only camped here for a temporary time. And because of that, the purpose of your life and the things you think about and the hopes and dreams you have and the things that you treasure and the things that you desire and the things that delight you go up higher than what's here in this world. I'm living on a higher plane. Hallelujah. Paul said that we are children of the light. We walk in the light of God's truth. We have fellowship with God, the creator of light. We have cast off the works of sin and darkness. We have put on the armor of light. And if that is true, then we should be sober and restrained and self-controlled and focused on pleasing God in every aspect of life. Every choice that I make, every step that I take it carefully, alertly, soberly, and I ask myself and I ask God to search my heart, is this best for me spiritually? Does this draw me closer to God or further away? Will it deaden my conscience or will it sharpen my spiritual awareness? We don't live in fear. We don't live in bondage. But we do live in submission to God. And we do live with a voice that is sensitive to His Holy Spirit and with a heart that is quick to respond when He speaks. There are many, many people who have started out to run the Christian race, but they've allowed themselves to be rocked to sleep by the lullaby of earthly, temporary things, and they will find themselves unprepared on the day of the Lord. There's an enemy who wants to distract you and derail you and defeat you and destroy you. Stay awake. Stay alert. Watch. Be sober. Romans chapter 13, Paul wrote, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. I like that the King James translators put it, it's high time to wake up. You know, it's one thing to walk into your kid's room maybe an hour or two before they need to get ready to be somewhere, and you gently say, hey, it's time to get up. But it's a much different thing when you've been there once and you didn't realize it, but they didn't get up, and you go to their room again, you find they're still asleep, and now you've only got 30 minutes, and now you say, it's high time that you get out of bed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not alone. Okay. High time expresses a sense of importance. There's some urgency here, a sense that something needs to happen now, immediately. And Paul says to these Thessalonians, he says to the Romans, he says to us, this is no time to sleep spiritually. Right now, immediately, no time to waste. Wake up, wake up, don't sleep. This is the only Sunday that everybody's awake because the preacher told you, wake up from the pulpit. Get geared up for spiritual battle. Verse 8, put on the breastplate of faith and love. Put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. We're in a battle. And then verse 11, he says, wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. He's saying, along this journey, we got to encourage one another, build each other up along the journey. Someone commenting on this verse put it this way. He said, we stand or we fall together. We need one another along the journey. Every now and again, on a trip of several hours down the interstate, I've been known to get drowsy. Anybody else get drowsy? You get tunnel vision as you're driving down the road. And I've been known to need help to stay awake. I need my wife to give me a little push. Or I need her to start an interesting conversation just to keep things going. And I think there's something here. We've got to stay awake. The enemy would like to put us to sleep, but sometimes we got to spur each other on towards what God would have us to be. And we encourage one another and we comfort one another. Don't forget, He's coming. We're living for this. This is what we're hoping for. We remind one another of these things and encourage one another. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. We know that. And we understand we're eternity-bound people living temporary lives in a physical world. We realize we're destined for something more, and yet let's be honest, how easy it is for us to be right in the middle of church, right in the middle of ministry even, and to be busy with the responsibilities of jobs and families and 1,001 other things, and to lose that cutting edge awareness of eternity. Eternity. We know we're going to die someday if the Lord doesn't come before we do. We believe it from the bottom of our hearts. We sing about His return. We talk about it. Even secular culture sometimes gets curious and imagines apocalyptic scenes at the end of the world. And yet if we're not careful, even as Christians, we can get kind of inoculated to the idea of Christ's return, of heaven, of hell, of coming judgment. But Paul reminds us, and I want to remind you this morning, Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. We have the testimony of the apostles. We have the testimony of the angels. We have the testimony of Jesus Himself. I believe this morning, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, that Jesus is coming again. Heard about a fellow named George. He worked in a machine shop, and late one Friday afternoon, about 10 minutes to quitting time, everybody was tired and ready to be done. Somebody looked at George and said, "Hey, George, are you ready to go?" He said, "Uh-huh." But they looked at him, and he was all dirty from cleaning and sweeping out the shavings underneath the huge lathes and machines in that shop. He was just obviously not ready. In fact, he looked like he was ready to keep on working. So they asked him again, "Aren't you ready to go home?" "Yeah, I'm ready." "Look at you, man. You're not ready. You're filthy. You got to go clean up." But George said, "No, let me show you something." And he unzipped his coveralls, and underneath his coveralls were neat, clean clothes. He had them all ready. And all he did when the whistle blew was just unzip and step out of that coverall, walk up and punch the time clock, and he was gone. George said, "You see, I stay ready to keep from getting ready, just like I'm ready for Jesus to return." Amen. Folks, that's the only way to live. We got to stay ready. We don't wait to get ready at the last minute. Jesus has made it possible for us to be ready and watching and waiting for His return. Christian, are you sober? Are you alert? Are you awake? Sinner, are you ready to stand before God and give an account of your life while so much is at stake? Nothing else really matters as much as your answer to those questions. I want to invite us to stand together this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I cannot preach a message of this nature without giving you an opportunity to respond. And as we wait in this moment, as the Holy Spirit of God speaks, as we consider the reality, Jesus is coming again. One day we will stand before God and hear those words. Give an account of yourself. Give an account. Are you ready to stand before Him? The holy God of heaven. Someone asked a preacher the question one time, "Preacher, how holy do you have to be to make it to heaven?" The preacher said, "Holy enough to stand in the presence of the God of all holiness." We wait just a moment. The Spirit of God speaks. Do you need to pray? This altar is open. Jesus stands with arms that are outstretched. He says, "I have grace. I have grace to save you. I have grace to keep you. Grace to sustain you. All that you need," He says, "I have. It can be found in me. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest." Praise the Lord. You need to pray. Now is your opportunity. Would you have the courage right now to step out from where you are and make your way to this altar? Someone will come to pray with you. We want you to be sure everything is clear between you and God. Amen.
That was a group from God's Bible School and College with the song, Wherever You Are. My friend, this morning, wherever you are, God sees you, He knows you, and He wants you to know Him personally as Lord and Savior. The message this morning was preached by Reverend Curtis Going, the senior pastor of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. My friend, if you have any questions about today's message, or you'd like to talk to someone about your relationship with God and where you're standing before Him, we'd be happy to talk with you. Please contact us by calling 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for an evening worship service. Then on Wednesday nights, we gather for prayer and praise at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, we hope to see you in person, but if that's not possible, you can always watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. This evening, we look forward to having a ladies' trio from Penview Bible Institute share in music ministry, and we'd be delighted to have you join us. That'll be at 6 o'clock this evening. And also, beginning on the 23rd of June, we begin Vacation Bible School, a time of ministry for the children of our congregation, and we invite you to bring your child each evening, June 23rd through the 27th at 7 o'clock p.m., as we visit Wonder Junction with songs, games, stories, and scriptural teaching. I'm sure that your child will enjoy and benefit from this time. My friend, we look forward to having you with us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.
That separated me from Christ my Lord. It was so vast the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to His demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. He came to me.
He came to me.
He came to me.
He came to me.
When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. That's why. Of sin, and He came to me when I possessed no hope within, and He picked me up and threw me gently to His side, where today in His sweet love I now. Came to me. That